beautiful day outside and an equally beautiful opportunity to worship God together. We thank Him for that. Good to see each one of you and to have this occasion to sing our praises unto God, to enter His courts through His gates and to give Him the thanksgiving and the praise that He is due. I invite you to join with me with your Bible in hand as we'll study together a few moments concerning the giving of thanks. If you're not a Christian this morning, the best thing that you can do is to become one. Thank God for the salvation that He provides in His Son Jesus. We want to help you accomplish that. If you'll confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, we have water available and ready that you can be baptized into Christ so that His blood will wash your sins away. If you're a child of God and have had sin in your life, we urge you to repent of that, to return to the Lord. He is merciful, and He is very anxious and willing to forgive us all of our trespasses. And we encourage that response of repentance, confession of sin. At the conclusion of our study this morning, we certainly stand ready to help you with that as well. God's people always have opportunity and reason to give thanks to God. The Bible is full of the reasons to be thankful to God. There's just a smattering of three or four verses that talk about the deeds of God. In 1 Chronicles 16, 7, and 8, David, on the day that he first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph, his brethren, to thank the Lord, he said, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." This is also found in Psalm 96, by the way. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples." Things that God has done among the peoples of the nations and of His people Israel. The things that God has done among us as God's people, as Christians, demand that we give thanks to God. In our 100th Psalm that John just read for us in the fourth verse, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." The very fact that we can come into the presence of God is reason to be thankful. The fact that we can assemble and be called His children and have a living hope of heaven is why we thank Him and praise Him and bless His name. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist wrote, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good." So it is the goodness of God, the character of God, that prompts thanks. His mercy endures forever. The fact that God is a merciful God is why we thank Him. We are the recipients of that mercy. We live in the mercy of God. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south." God has gathered a remnant of grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the redeemed, saving us from, delivering us from the hand of the enemy, of the devil. Even as He delivered Israel of old from the hands of their enemies, He delivers us from the enemy. He is good. He is merciful. That's why we thank Him. That's why we praise Him. 136, Psalm, 136th Psalm. Again, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. His mercy endures forever. He is God of gods. Thank Him. He is the Lord of lords. Thank Him. His mercy endures forever. He is sovereign in every way, in everything about God, in everything He is, everything He does, everything He has said, everything He continues to do. These are our incentives and reasons to thank Him. In Isaiah 51, Isaiah talked about the Lord giving comfort to Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and make her wilderness like Eden and the desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, Zion of prophecy is the church. This is a prophetic description of the church, and it is in fact something we were kind of alluding to and talking about this morning in our Bible class. The joy and gladness found in Zion, found in the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, prompts thanksgiving that prompts songs of joy and praise. It's that comfort, the spiritual comfort that we have, that is the basis of our joy and our thanksgiving. And so in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, the apostle said, we are to be giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is an immediate reaction of God's people. An immediate, not a delayed, not a I'll get around to it, but an immediate reaction based on His goodness, His character, His mercy, His grace, His works, His presence. And so, to give grateful acknowledgement of the benefits we've received from God, that's what thanksgiving is. We acknowledge gratefully the benefit, the blessing. And it's the opposite of selfishness, isn't it? We understand that that selfishness and arrogance and rebellion oppose giving thanks, refuses to give thanks. Because you see, it's always looking at the wrong thing for the wrong reason, never to God, and expressing gratitude to Him. So when we think about what thanksgiving is, we need to here's part of that self-examination. We need to examine to see to the degree that I have selfishness within me, or pride building up in me, or even rebellion. Then I have to acknowledge, I have to be honest with myself, I'm not being a very thankful person at that moment. That retards and refuses thanksgiving. Because you see, thanksgiving springs out of love and joy and praise. It's acknowledgement that we receive a benefit. We have the holiday Thanksgiving coming up, a national holiday. A holiday when people of a faith and of no faith at all will get together and express thanks. But you see, for Christians, this is the normal course of our daily living. When we crucify self, we generate continual thanksgiving. Where there is thanksgiving, we'll have contentment. But when we don't have thankfulness in our hearts, selfishness, lust, personal desires, anxiety is going to grow. It's going to overflow. It's going to keep us from giving thanks always in all things. So let's just focus upon ourselves. Are we thankful people? Do we acknowledge the benefits that are in our lives? Do we know? And that's what we want to help focus our attention on a little bit, so that we can truly be thankful people. You see, when we give thanks, it presupposes that we know we are blessed. Giving thanks presupposes knowing we are blessed. We've been benefited. Thanks does not take for granted that we are where we are in our life. It recognizes resources beyond ourselves that we have received, that we benefit from. Paul in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13. Now, isn't that so? I mean, Thanksgiving, we think about the holiday Thanksgiving, and at least when I was growing up, you know, when I was coming up, we learned about the pilgrims and the Indians, you know. We learned about all the benefits. Now that's all not PC and all that, you know. I'm going to rewrite some of that history, I suppose. But we learned to be thankful for the benefits that others received, and that have come down to us over time in this society. If we are not able to step back and recognize that really the blessings of our life are not from us and about us, but from God, then we never will achieve thankfulness. How can we ever give thanks to God if we refuse to know that we are a blessed people? In 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me. You see, his thanksgiving grows out of a focus upon Jesus, who has enabled me. Paul didn't enable himself to be an apostle. Christ enabled him because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry or into the service although I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul acknowledged that he received mercy. He knew he'd been blessed. And so now he thanks Jesus Christ for the blessing. We've got to know we've been blessed. And more than just the surface acknowledgement, I mean a real recognition that our life itself and everything that is a part of it, and especially the spiritual blessings we have in Jesus Christ, they are from God.
Amen.
And that establishes the ability to be thankful always in all things to God. Also, it requires that we review the blessings we receive. Not just know their source, but we've got to know them and review them. I'm always reminded, Gary telling us, and rightly, Gary, remember his favorite song is Count Your Many Blessings, or When the Roll is Called Up. No, both of those, right? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And when the roll is called up, he liked both of those. You know, all of us do. Because you see, that's about knowing the blessings we have. Paul knew that in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5. Look how he connects this with thanksgiving. When he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you and all with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He said, here's a blessing I have, and it is fellowship with you in the gospel. The church in Philippi was supporting Paul to preach, sending to his needs, to his support on multiple occasions. And he says, every time I remember you, I thank God for that fellowship. He knew the blessing that he had in his life, and he was thankful. So we can become comfortable with our blessings and forget their blessings. We've got to remember by reviewing, by counting our blessings, by taking time. Don't take it for granted. Don't take any of them for granted. Only the one who gives them to us in the first place. But also, of course, as we said, we've got to know the source of our blessing. We're blessed. We count those blessings to emphasize that blessing and that reality. And we know that God's the giver of every good gift. James 1 and verse 17. We can't be thankful to God if we don't know He's the giver. And a lot of people really don't know God's the giver. They celebrate Thanksgiving, they have expressions of thanks, but not in acknowledging God. Maybe acknowledging a variety of other things, you know, that in fact are blessings, but not the source of the blessings. You see, you're a blessing in someone's life, and someone is a blessing in your life, but while they may be at secondary or a source, the ultimate source is God. He's the giver of every good gift. If your husband or your wife is a blessing to you, the fact is God is the giver of that gift. Because God's the giver of marriage. God's the giver of the husband and the wife. God's the source. If your children are a blessing in your life, then you see God's the giver of children. He's the source. And parents, and job, and whatever it is, a place to live, whatever blessing, food to eat. God is the source, not ourselves. And unless we regard that, acknowledge that, understand that, grasp that, and put that into our psyche, into our thinking, we won't be very thankful people. We'll live a life where we have abundant blessing, but very little gratitude expressed. Instead, we often hear disappointment, discouragement, bitterness, or resentment. Where do those come from? That doesn't come from a heart of thankfulness and gratitude. Just the opposite. You see, we cannot take for granted that we automatically know what we need to be thankful. These are what we need to have be thankful people. Let's know we're blessed. And let's know what those blessings are. And let's know who gives us those blessings.
That's the starting point for the care of me in Scripture, to help us to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
So, let's look at that always for a minute. When must we give thanks and for what must we give thanks? Well, he says, give thanks always, first of all. When? Always. Psalm 34:1 that we had on our splash screen at the beginning speaks to that very point. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Now, let's just ponder that a minute. Because we struggle with our words at times. We struggle with what we say and how we say it to other people. And we're taught to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, swift to hear. But if we really make an effort to have thanksgiving in our mouth, thanksgiving in our words, of course it's in our mind to start with, and use that and speak thankfully, won't that help prevent the wrong use of our tongue? Won't that help restrain us? You know, James talks about controlling the tongue. If thanksgiving is on our tongue, then doesn't that set a tone to help us refuse those other things that really demonstrate something far less than thankfulness?
Seems like that would be the case. Look with me, please, that to give thanks always, then we need to be thankful before the blessing comes.
So how can you do that? How can you be thankful before the blessing comes? If you don't know what the blessing is, how can you be thankful? Let's go to a Bible illustration, 2 Chronicles 20, 20 through 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah are about to go to war with the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Edomites. And the prophet of God has given a message. He says, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Okay? So God has told them, don't be afraid. God has told them, this battle belongs to God. God's going to win this battle. Now, and so he goes on to say, you need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, verse 17. He goes, now watch in verse 20 what the king does. They rise early in the morning, go out to the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those that they should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. So now they began to sing and to praise. The Lord set an ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. God has said, I'm going to beat the enemy, defeat the enemy. God did defeat the enemy. But you see, before that defeat, God's people had to have the expectation of receiving the blessing. And they gave thanks. They blessed God. You see, God's Word tells us how things are, how things are going to be. But we got to have the faith to be thankful, even though all those things haven't happened yet. We're thankful for heaven, aren't we? But we're not there yet. We expect it. That's our hope. It's a living hope. You see, when should we give thanks? Always. Even before the blessing is personally obtained, because God has spoken in God's Word, there's cause to expect blessing. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessings that our needs in this life will be met. What we need, he says, I'll provide, Matthew 6. We've got to have faith to expect God to do what he says he's going to do. That's when we give thanks, in expectation, even before the blessing. But then, of course, we give thanks during the blessing as well. Acts 24, verse 15, Paul, on that occasion, was giving thanks because the brethren from Rome had come out to meet him. He's a prisoner. He doesn't know how they're going to react. Are they going to receive him? Are they going to reject him? How are they going to act? It says that in that text that they came out to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three inns. And when Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. He thanked God in the moment of the blessing. That's the point. In the moment of the blessing. In fact, Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead in John the 11th chapter, before he said, "Lazarus, come forth," you know what he did? He prayed a prayer of thanksgiving. He said, "Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me." So before he raised him, and in the very moment he was about to raise him, with this blessedness of life, he thanks God. Let's don't forget that when the blessing is upon us, be thankful. Sometimes we forget to be thankful because we're reveling in the blessing. And forget about thanking the one who gave it to us. So if we're going to be thankful people, enter his gates with thanksgiving. We expect the blessings that God promises, and we give thanks during the blessing because we rely upon those blessings. Our reliance is on the giver of the blessing. And so we're thankful. And we acknowledge the blessing when it's been received. To be thankful, to always give thanks. We don't forget to be thankful after it occurs. In Luke, the 17th chapter, you see that with the 10 lepers. Remember? There were 10 lepers, and they're crying out to Jesus, "Son of David, Savior, Master, have mercy on us." It says, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They're crying out for healing. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." So it was, as they went, they were cleansed, and one of them returned. When he saw that he was healed, and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Samaritan, in the moment of great healing, marvelous miracle in his life, changed everything in his life. He stopped, he turned around, and he fell at Jesus' feet and was thankful. Yeah. See, thanksgiving is not just when we get around to it. Giving thanks always is in the very moment and in the reception of it and in the ongoing benefit from it. To acknowledge the source. To give God the credit. Remember, the king of Babylon gave himself credit. Nebuchadnezzar, he gave himself credit for great Babylon and everything he had done. God drove him out of away from the throne as a wild beast until he learned that God rules in the affairs of men. Our thanksgiving is fundamental to our recognition of the providence of God and the sovereignty of God. That God is in control of this world. That God is working His will. And our reliance upon Him and the blessings we expect because He promises them in Christ are to be acknowledged before, during, and after. That's how we always give thanks. Now, for what? Well, for all things, Ephesians 5:20 says. Things physical, things spiritual. Things ordinary and extraordinary. Things received and even things withheld from our lives we can be thankful for. We should be thankful when the answer is no. Now that's a test of our faith. We'll mark it down right now. That tries our faith when the answer is no. Paul learned this in 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7 beginning and following, but verse 10. You remember, Christ said, "No, I'm not going to remove this thorn in the flesh." But my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. To say I take pleasure, and it says that I accept them gladly. I receive them, not as an overwhelming burden, not as some resentful reality, but as the very thing I need to be strong in Christ. So that's how you can be thankful when a perceived blessing is withheld. The real answer is the greater blessing is what you have. Now, to view a trial as a blessing is to help perfect and mature our faith. Count it all joy rather than when you fall into manifold trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. James 1, 2, and 3. You see, the test of faith is to be thankful when what we think is a blessing isn't really the blessing at all. The real blessing is the one that we sometimes refuse and reject because it's not what we wanted. But it's the very thing that God says is best for you. We try to teach our kids that, don't we? And we have to learn it as adults. And we have to keep learning it. You see, we're to be thankful for all things. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 18 teaches the same thing. So we thank God for our food, 1 Timothy 4, 4. We thank God for all men, 1 Timothy 2, 1. And it's hard to thank God for your enemies. But we can be thankful that the Lord will help us face that challenge to love our enemies as ourselves. But are we thankful for that? See, so can we be thankful for our enemies? We're supposed to pray for them. Pray a prayer that God protects you against those who try to destroy your faith. Thank God that they still have opportunity to repent, to come back to God. There's reason to be thankful. We need to see it with eyes of faith. You know, Paul, again, we can be thankful for memories. Paul said, whenever I remember you, brethren, I thank God. Oh, thank God that we're able to remember. Remember the blessings that others have and the impacts and influences others have on our lives for good and what is right. Be thankful for our brethren, Colossians 1 and verse 3, as Paul expressed that thanksgiving to them on that occasion. He wrote there in chapter 1 and verse 3, We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith and love. We're thankful for our brethren. Thankful for all things. We're thankful for God's attributes and His works. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So we thank Him for His goodness, for His mercy, for His grace, for His kindness, for His love, for His forgiveness. We thank Him for His watch care over us. We thank Him for salvation, for the church, for His Word, for His judgments. We thank Him for all He is and all He does. We thank Him always for all things. You see, really, giving thanks is a test and a profession of faith. We talked about the test aspect briefly. It's a profession of our faith to be thankful people. Recognize the giver of every good gift and to see that in the circumstance of life there's a blessing that requires faith. Paul, when he was a prisoner in Rome, Philippians 1, and this now is after he Acts 28, he's arrived at Rome, he's there for more than 2 years, or at least 2 years, well, more than that. And during that time, though in chains, though a prisoner, He spoke the word of God boldly without fear, and others were brought to faith. Others were being saved. People were being saved. And so he said, what then? Only in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Paul was joyful, thankful in the moment of imprisonment. We wouldn't think being in prison is a blessing, but it was Paul. Because you see, his values were not on this world, but on the Lord. And so he'd give thanks. And that's his faith. Thanksgiving is just a normal process of faith. How do you do that? Well, we remember, as Romans 8th chapter teaches us, that no exterior force can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus. We remember that, as we discussed in class this morning, the values that we hold, the faith that we have, and that we daily take up our cross and follow Jesus, means that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. You see, everything works together for good. You and I may not see all of that together for good part at the moment. But like Jehoshaphat, we expect it because God has promised it. And so that we endure through all the external forces that we face in life to not be separated from the love of Christ. He said we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. The blessing is more abundant. That's how we do it. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on the goal, rather than turning them inward to ourselves and to this world that's passing away. Keep eyes of faith. And you give thanks. We give thanks to God the Father, because He's the giver of every good gift. As God gives good gifts to His children, who they ask, Matthew 7 and 11, He answers. Of course, it's not exclusively the Father. We give thanks to Jesus. We give thanks to the Father. We give thanks to the Son. We give thanks to the Holy Spirit. All of the Godhead blesses us. And so, as we give thanks to God the Father, we recognize Him as the source, as the giver of the Son, from whom all these blessings flow. And the Spirit coming from the Father, by endorsement of the Son, so that we have truth to guide us. God Himself. Remember, the fundamental problem of the Gentile world was that though they knew that God existed, they refused to be thankful. Romans 1:20-21. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Became futile in their thoughts. It's when we forget God, forget to thank God, that we fall into disarray, we fall into sin. We lose our soul eternally. Thankfulness is at the heart of faith. And so we thank God the Father always in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, because He's the means of these blessings we have, and the spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3, Colossians 3:17, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Without Jesus, we'd be lost, we'd be dead, we'd be severed from God. And so there's a reason that we give thanks in the name of Christ, regarding His authority, acknowledging His power. And we do that, He says, with our whole being. We do it with all of our being. We offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that give praise and acknowledgement to Him. Hebrews 13:15. Look at that verse with me. It says, therefore by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks to His name. In our prayers, in our songs, in our words, and in our deeds, in our lives, we sacrifice and we serve. Colossians 2 says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, or established in the faith, in your faith, even as you were taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving in the life that we live. That's how we must give thanks. Not a little, not a day a year, but always. Abundantly. As an expression of our reliance upon, our faith in, our trust in God in His Son Jesus. Remember, giving thanks is the very opposite of ingratitude. The world lives in pride, in self-reliance, in self-satisfaction, and self-centeredness. These are not thankful. And so it's not a coincidence in 2 Timothy 3 that people who live in that sort of a way, pridefully and selfishly, are described as unthankful. Unthankful.
Lovers of self rather than lovers of God will always be unthankful. So we have to change the focus of our love to God and not ourselves to become thankful people.
Psalm 104, verses 12 and 13, 140th Psalm. Before we close, Psalm 140, verse 12 says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to His name. The upright shall dwell in His presence. Ingratitude is reserved for the unrighteous. The righteous surely give thanks to His name. The righteous know that He maintains the cause of the afflicted. He brings justice to the poor. He brings in His presence those who are upright come into His presence with joy and thanksgiving. And so, on this occasion of thanksgiving, let's make every day thanksgiving. To abound and to overflow with thanksgiving, as Colossians 2 and verse 7 says. To enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise for His goodness, for His works, for His mercy, for His salvation. To respond to the call of the gospel that He sends out through His Son Jesus Christ so that all things work together for good. To respond to that call, to be saved from your sins. What greater blessing, what greater cause for thanksgiving than that we were lost but now we're found. We were dead, but now we're alive in Jesus Christ. That can begin in your life if you'll become a Christian this morning. In faith, repent, confess your faith, and be baptized into Jesus. Be raised to walk a new life of thanksgiving and joy and service. If you're a Christian and there's sin in your life, respond to God's call. Return to Him in thanksgiving. He's merciful and anxious to forgive, and we want to help you do that. Won't you come while we stand and sing?